Today is the 8th day of August. Hi. Welcome. Welcome back to the Global Campfire. Good to see you here. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you in this sweltering rolling hills of Tennessee. True summer is a steamy, hot, hot mess down here in the South. Green and lush as it may be, we definitely get our heat. And it's not the dry kind that those of you in more arid places experience. It's a sauna kind of like experience. So welcome. Welcome. It's great to be here with you today, wherever you are, whatever climate, whatever continent, whatever time of day or night it may be. I'm deeply grateful that we can gather in around this global campfire that somehow is also climate controlled. I don't know. It's like always just a perfect kind of place to be, a safe oasis that we create for each other by showing up together every day. And I'm grateful that you've shown up, and I'm grateful that I've been able to show up, and I'm grateful that we can take another step forward in the book of Ezra. Today, chapter 7, verse 1 through 8, verse 20. Many years later, during the reign of King Artaxerxes of Persia, there was a man named Ezra. He was the son of Sariah, son of Azariah, son of Hilkiah, son of Shallum, son of Zadok, son of Ahitub, son of Amariah, son of Azariah, son of Merayon, son of Zerahiah, son of Uzi, son of Buki, son of Abishua, son of Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the high priest. This Ezra was a scribe who was well versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given to the people of Israel. He came up to Jerusalem from Babylon, and the king gave him everything he asked for, because the gracious hand of the Lord his God was on him. Some of the people of Israel, as well as some of the priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, and temple servants, traveled up to Jerusalem with him in the 7th year of King Artaxerxes' reign. Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in August of that year. He had arranged to leave Babylon on April 8th, the first day of the new year, and he arrived at Jerusalem on August 4th. For the gracious hand of his God was on him. This was because Ezra had determined to study and obey the law of the Lord, and to teach those decrees and regulations to the people of Israel. King Artaxerxes had given a copy of the following letter to Ezra, the priest and scribe who studied and taught the commands and decrees of the Lord to Israel. From Artaxerxes, the King of Kings, to Ezra the priest, the teacher of the law of the God of heaven, greetings. I decree that any of the people of Israel in my kingdom, including the priests and Levites, may volunteer to return to Jerusalem with you. I and my council of 7 hereby instruct you to conduct an inquiry into the situation in Judah and Jerusalem, based on your God's law, which is in your hand. We also commission you to take with you silver and gold, which we are freely presenting as an offering to the God of Israel, who lives in Jerusalem. Furthermore, you are to take any silver and gold that you may obtain from the province of Babylon, as well as the voluntary offerings of the people and the priests that are presented for the temple of their God in Jerusalem. These donations are to be used specifically for the purchase of bulls, rams, male lambs, and the appropriate grain offerings and liquid offerings, all of which will be offered on the altar of the temple of your God in Jerusalem. Any silver and gold that is left over may be used in whatever way you and your colleagues feel is the will of your God. But as for the cups, we are entrusting to you for the service of the temple of your God. Deliver them all to the God of Jerusalem. If you need anything else for your God's temple, or for any similar needs, you may take it from the royal treasury. I, Artaxerxes the king, hereby send this decree to all the treasurers in the province west of the Euphrates River. You are to give Ezra the priest and teacher of the law of the God of heaven whatever he requests of you. You are to give him up to 7,500 pounds of silver, 500 bushels of wheat, 550 gallons of wine, 550 gallons of olive oil, and an unlimited supply of salt. Be careful to provide whatever the God of heaven demands for his temple. For why should we risk bringing God's anger against the realm of the king and his sons? I also decree that no priest, Levite, singer, gatekeeper, temple servant, or other worker in this temple of God will be required to pay tribute customs or tolls of any kind. And you, Ezra, are to use the wisdom your God has given you to appoint magistrates and judges who know your God's laws to govern all the people in the province west of the Euphrates River. Teach the law to anyone who does not know it. Anyone who refuses to obey the law of your God and the law of the king will be punished immediately, either by death, banishment, confiscation of goods, or imprisonment. Praise the Lord, the God of our ancestors, who made the king want to beautify the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. And praise him for demonstrating such unfailing love to me by honoring me before the king, his council, and all his mighty nobles. I felt encouraged because the gracious hand of the Lord my God was on me, and I gathered some of the leaders of Israel to return with me to Jerusalem. Here is a list of the family leaders and the genealogies of those who came with me from Babylon during the reign of King Artaxerxes. From the family of Phinehas, Gershom. From the family of Ithamar, Daniel. From the family of David, Hattush, a descendant of Shechaniah. From the family of Parosh, Zechariah and 150 other men were registered. From the family of Peat Moab, Elioni, son of Zerahiah, and 200 other men. From the family of Zatu, Shechaniah, son of Jahaziel, and 300 other men. From the family of Aden, Ebed, son of Jonathan, and 50 other men. From the family of Elam, Jeshiah, son of Ataliah, and 70 other men. From the family of Shephatiah, Zebediah, son of Michael, and 80 other men. From the family of Joab, Obadiah, son of Jehiel, and 218 other men. From the family of Bani, Shelomith, son of Josephiah, and 160 other men. From the family of Bibai, Zechariah, son of Bibai, and 28 other men. From the family of Azgad, Yohanan, son of Hakatan, and 110 other men. From the family of Adonikam, who came later, Eliphelet, Jeuel, Shemaiah, and 60 other men. From the family of Bigvai, Uttai, Zakur, and 70 other men. I assembled the exiles at the Ahava Canal, and we camped there for 3 days while I went over the lists of the people and the priests who had arrived. I found that not one Levite had volunteered to come along, so I sent for Eleazar, Ariel, Shemaiah, Elnathan, Jarib, Elnathan, Nathan, Zechariah, and Meshulam, who were leaders of the people. I also sent for Joiarib and Elnathan, who were men of discernment. I sent them to Edo, the leader of the Levites at Casiphia, to ask him and his relatives and the temple servants to send us ministers for the temple of God at Jerusalem. Since the gracious hand of our God was on us, they sent us a man named Sherebiah, along with 18 of his sons and brothers. He was a very astute man and a descendant of Mahli, who was a descendant of Levi, son of Israel. They also sent Hashabiah, together with Jeshiah, from the descendants of Merari, and 20 of his sons and brothers, and 220 temple servants. The temple servants were assistants to the Levites, a group of temple workers first instituted by King David and his officials. They were all listed by name. First Corinthians 4. So look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries. Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. As for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or by any human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove I'm right. It is the Lord Himself who will examine me and decide. So don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time, before the Lord returns, for He will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. Dear brothers and sisters, I have used Apollos and myself to illustrate what I've been saying. If you pay attention to what I have quoted from the scriptures, you won't be proud of one of your leaders at the expense of another. For what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? You think you already have everything you need. You think you are already rich. You have begun to reign in God's kingdom without us. I wish you really were reigning already, for then we would be reigning with you. Instead, I sometimes think God has put us apostles on display like prisoners of war at the end of a victor's parade, condemned to die. We have become a spectacle to the entire world, to people and angels alike. Our dedication to Christ makes us look like fools, but you claim to be so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are so powerful. You are honored, but we are ridiculed. Even now we go hungry and thirsty, and we don't have enough clothes to keep warm. We are often beaten and have no home. We work wearily with our own hands to earn our living. We bless those who curse us. We are patient with those who abuse us. We appeal gently when evil things are said about us. Yet we are treated like the world's garbage, like everybody's trash, right up to the present moment. I'm not writing these things to shame you, but to warn you as my beloved children. For even if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you have only one spiritual father. For I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the good news to you. So I urge you to imitate me. That's why I have sent Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. He will remind you of how I follow Christ Jesus, just as I teach in all the churches wherever I go. Some of you have become arrogant thinking I will not visit you again. But I will come, and soon, if the Lord lets me. And then I'll find out whether these arrogant people just give pretentious speeches, or whether they really have God's power. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. Which do you choose? Should I come with a rod to punish you? Or should I come with love and a gentle spirit? Psalm 30. A Psalm of David, a song for the dedication of the temple. I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. Oh Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. When I was prosperous, I said, nothing can stop me now. Your favor, O Lord, made me as secure as a mountain. Then you turned away from me, and I was shattered. I cried out to you, O Lord. I begged the Lord for mercy, saying, what will you gain if I die, if I sink into the grave? Can my dust praise you? Can it tell of your faithfulness? Hear me, Lord, and have mercy on me. Help me, O Lord. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Proverbs 20, 28 through 30. Unfailing love and faithfulness protect the king. His throne is made secure through love. The glory of the young is their strength. The gray hair of experience is the splendor of the old. Physical punishment cleanses away evil. Such discipline purifies the heart. Okay, so 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter. He's laying things out. And yesterday we considered how it is that we try to get a spiritual identity, even a spiritual superiority, which is even more dangerous, based on who it is we're following, who our favorite leader is, what tribe we belong to, what church we belong to, what denomination we belong to, what camp we're in. And in our attempts to get identity that way, we end up elevating our leaders into really high places of authority in our lives. And that's not like a sinful thing or wrong to have respect in and of itself. It's a tough job doing spiritual work. So those doing it do deserve honor. But we can end up, because we've elevated these people, place them in unrealistic situations and have unrealistic expectations on them by presuming that they are our actual lifeline to God. They are the oracle. And that's dangerous, because it's easier then to absolve ourselves, to let somebody else do the heavy lifting and simply tell us what to do and what to think and what to believe instead of actually being in a relationship with God. So when we do this, we're not taking responsibility personally for walking with God. We're not owning our relationship. If you're married, for example, and you don't own your relationship and you're part of the relationship, well, it's headed for trouble at the very least. And so if we don't own our personal relationship with God, then it's headed for trouble at the very least. Anything that is less than an intimate and personal relationship with God won't work, just like anything less than an intimate and personal, faithful, loyal, committed relationship to your spouse won't work. In our reading today, Paul continues teaching this and says that exalting one leader over another is an arrogant thing to do. It's backward. I quote Paul, if you pay attention to what I've quoted from the scriptures, you won't be proud of one of your leaders at the expense of another. For what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why do you boast as though it weren't a gift? So we can see that this is like gotten under Paul's skin. This has hit a nerve. And that is for good reason. Spiritual leaders are servants. Simply servants of God's people. That is a hard enough job just to keep true and just to keep that attitude without having added pressure of like being ranked as more or less important or excluded. The idea of leadership is a sparkly, glamorous concept until you're actually doing it. And if you ever wondered what that is really like for your favorite man of God, your favorite woman of God, then Paul actually says it, pulls back the curtain. I quote Paul, I sometimes think God has put us apostles on display, like prisoners of war at the end of a victor's parade, condemned to die. We have become a spectacle to the entire world, to people and angels alike. Our dedication to Christ makes us look like fools. But you claim to be so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you're acting so powerful. You are honored, but we are ridiculed. Even now, we go hungry and thirsty, and we don't have enough clothes to keep warm. We are often beaten and have no home. We work wearily with our own hands to earn our living. We bless those who curse us. We're patient with those who abuse us. We appeal gently when evil things are said about us. Yet, we are treated like the world's garbage, like everybody's trash, right up to the present moment. Wow. So, if that's pulling the curtain back, then the added pressure of anything but just simple respect is not helpful. To fight with each other over who's got a better leader or who we're listening to and who we just will not listen to and on and on and on and on. We should just be humbled by the fact that anybody stepping into that arena is signing up to be a servant, a slave of God's people. It's a difficult enough thing for our pastors and our priests and our bishops and our presbyters. It's hard enough for our leaders to carry the burden of trying to care for our soul. And so instead of like worshiping them and making them celebrities, we should pray for them. And rather than ranking them, we should honor them. And rather than expecting them to be our conduit or oracle to God, our flawless and superhuman leader with all the right answers, I can tell you for a fact, nobody's got a hotline to God that everybody doesn't have. And our leaders are a gift. But I promise you, we're human. And our leaders can lead us to God, but they cannot be in a relationship with God on our behalf. And when we remember this, then we can receive and act on what Paul is saying. I quote him again. I'm not telling you these things to shame you. I'm telling you these things to warn you. Because even if you have 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you have only one spiritual father. And so, Father, we come to you and we speak with gratitude for everyone who has ever spoken into our lives in some sort of way that really, really did help. And every leader that we've ever sat under or heard or participated with or co-labored with or followed, we thank you for everyone who has had a part in our spiritual journey. And we acknowledge and give honor to that. Also, listening to the Apostle Paul, we pray for them. Because in pulling back the curtain and demystifying spiritual leadership, we find that it is, first of all, human. There is no special sauce. None of us got some special underwear in the mail that gives us spiritual powers when we were ordained into leadership. We just signed up for the difficult task of trying to be true and serve and care for the welfare of those that you've put into our care. And so we acknowledge the humanity, and no longer will we try to get behind these people and get an identity from them just because they're popular or because they're dynamic or because they're charismatic or because whatever it is that they are that we're following. We pray for them. Thank you for what they have meant in our lives. But thank you that they lead us to you. And it is you and you alone that we are in an intimate, bonded, covenantal relationship. And so we thank you for those who lead us on this path. But no longer will we worship them. Lead us into all truth, Holy Spirit. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, our home base, and that is where you can find out what is going on. It's our 20th anniversary. Every single day is a 20th. As we probably all know by now, for sure, unless this is your first day, and it always is, so welcome if it's your first day. We're celebrating 20 years. So I've been mentioning, well, we've been celebrating in a lot of different ways, but I've been mentioning this week our 20th anniversary reserve of our wind farm coffee. And we're calling it Southern Pecan. And when you get your bag and you open that bag, you will understand why. And hopefully you will enjoy it. I'm enjoying some now, as I have been all week. This sports our brand new wind farm coffee packaging. We've been working really, really hard on a brand new shop, brand new app, brand new platform. It's taken years in the making. And we were going to roll out all of our new coffee branding with all of that. But it was all for the 20th year. And so we're still kind of working forward on getting everything done. It's been quite a large, winding road to get us there. But we didn't want to wait on the 20th anniversary reserve. We got all this green coffee and roasting it fresh. I wanted to launch into that, but wanted to launch into it with the brand new wind farm bags, the brand new wind farm packaging. And so this is the first anyone will ever see of that. We've had coffee for so long, but to kind of rebrand it, update it, really, really cool, really, really exciting. And so I just want you to be aware, it is flying. I thought it would. I mean, we love coffee around here and tea around here, and it's been a part of the DNA of the Daily Audio Bible for a long time, but it's worshiping a lot of it, and so we're grateful for that. Thank you. If you haven't got your bag or bags yet, make sure you do. It's part of the celebration, so when you brew yourself a pot or do a little pour over or make yourself a little clean canteen full of it, and you sip that Southern Pecan, know that it's coming right here from the rolling hills of Tennessee. And it is something that we are enjoying every day. It's a part of our work here. It's a part of what we do every day. And so I hope you will enjoy some Wind Farm Southern Pecan 20th Anniversary Reserve coffee today. You can find that in the Daily Audio Bible Shop at the website or in the app. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. Thank you with all humility for your partnership here in the summertime. Deeply, deeply grateful that the campfire continues to burn forward all of these years. Thank you for your partnership now. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, that is one of the beautiful distinctives of our community. Man, we're just mostly a non-judgmental community praying for each other and understanding that we're all struggling. And we're all reaching forward and we're all taking a step together every day and trying to pray for and encourage one another. So if that's you, you can reach out by hitting the hotline button in the app, which is the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, everyone. This is Mary from North Carolina. I'm just wanting to comment on the August 1st, 2025 devotionals, chronological, and the discussion that Brian and Jill had afterward about suffering and giving their own personal testimony. And it really hit home because Jill's testimony is so eerily similar to my own background that I just almost started crying because I just to hear somebody that really understood the pain and regret that I still carry for my choices, even now in the grace of God's mercy that helped me mature and stop making those bad decisions. Most of them were self-inflicted wounds, and the consequences I'm still dealing with, which some of them may not even be resolved in my lifetime. But this devotional was God's way of just coming to sit with me and comfort and encourage me, and just to be here where I am in this place of sadness as I process and get through to the other side of all the pain, disappointment, and shame of it all. He's so good. Jesus is so good and to me, and I just worship and love him for loving me. Jill, thank you for your honesty, genuineness, and vulnerability to share. You just don't know what those words did for me today. And I just hope this is a blessing to someone out there, that God is a God that comes and sits with you, and even in your darkest places. I just hope that everyone is just tuned in to God and let him be God. Climb up into the Father's lap and let him be Daddy. Hope everybody has a good day and a weekend. Bye-bye.
Hey, Dabbers, this is Slave of Jesus in North Carolina. All right, Holy Spirit, let's roll. Rodney from Atlanta, you talk about life bites, little bites. I can tell you the best things that have happened in my life, I thought were the worst things. A motorcycle accident, a vehicle accident where my driver almost killed someone in a business I owned as a sole proprietor. I mean, they could come after me personally. Everything, hitting a deer. These things were all great things for my life now that I look back in there. And the Bible tells us we will come against the storm. They talk about building on a sand or building on stone. Both of them have a storm that hit them. So it's not that we won't have storms. We've got to remember that. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters who have been forced to flee their homes because of their faith in Christ. We know that Jesus Christ, we have an internal comfort and good hope and grace, and we pray for this comfort will fill their hearts. We pray that they will experience your provision as they meet your every physical, material, emotional, and spiritual need that they have. We know you will do this for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jill and Brian, I have just listened to the first half of your talk on August 1st about trauma or complex trauma. And this is Rosemary, that has been a long time listener. I wanted to say thank you very much for talking about these things and being very vulnerable with this community. And I have seen a new vulnerability in the community since you began these 20-year talks. I think we're deepening our commitment with the Daily Audio Bible community, and we can only go deeper and deeper to understand and help each other. So thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, Dab family. This is Kristen, Christ in me. I wanted to lift up the prayer request from Our Eyes of a Dove. I know that it's difficult raising teenagers and go through these issues, and we just need an extra dose of Jesus to help us get through these times. Father God, we just lift up Jonna and her family, and her son Rylan. We pray that there would be some maturing in him, and that he would grow to appreciate the love and guidance that he's had from his family. We pray that this time apart from his family, that he would work on his heart, and he would grow closer to you, Lord God, that he would know you in a mighty way. We pray that you would just reveal yourself to him. We pray for comfort and peace to all involved and just restoration of this relationship and maturing for this young man and love. And we just thank you for Rylan. And we just thank you for our sister, Eyes of a Dove, for her precious heart, for her kids. In Yeshua's mighty, matchless name. Hallelujah.
This is Beloved in Texas, and I want to call in for the lady who didn't want to give her name. And she is scared to leave her husband. And she doesn't know what to do, and she feels isolated. Sister, I know. I felt that in my heart. I just want to pray for you. Father, come to you right now in the name of Jesus, and we lift up this sweet sister. She doesn't know where to turn, and she doesn't know what to do next. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would make your voice plain to her. Give her unctions to move and respond in ways that would glorify you, Father. And I pray that you would give her clarity. Clarity in what to do next and how to handle the situation, even if it's just minute by minute. Oh, Father God, I thank you that you would protect her children's heart. I plead the blood of Jesus over this family. And Father, I pray that the scales over her husband's eyes would fall away and he could see. He could see that what he is, the way he is acting is hurting his family. It's hurting his children. It's hurting his wife, the people that he loves most in the world. Father, I pray that you would give him a revelation of selfless love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, DAB family. This is Aussie Bear in Australia. I was just listening to a call that came in after the reading on March 20th, 21st. I can't remember, but I'm getting through the readings, and I'm up to the second half of March. And this call came in from Addison, and he was saying that he had spent time in prison, and that one of the podcasts that he was allowed to listen to and other inmates at the particular facility that he was at was the DAB. And, oh, my gosh, that just warmed my heart so much. And I am so thankful that Addison, if you're still listening, that you did call in, and I hope that you are still listening. And because I worked in prison ministry for a few years before my mum died and a little while after my mum died, but I don't work in prison ministry now, but I loved that time. I loved, like, my role was to mark Bible studies that the inmates did, and also to write letters of encouragement. And so to know that that the inmates that are able to listen to the DAB are so affected by the prayers and encouragement that people ring in is just wonderful. So I just wanted to say that even though I don't know any inmates now by name, I do pray because I have a passion for prison ministry, and so you are still being prayed for. So be encouraged and continue in God's word.